I grew up in an age of very virulent anti-Semitism.
I didn't deny my Judaism, but I wasn't happy about being Jewish. What changed me was knowing what Hitler did to the Jews.
I couldn't live with myself if I didn't do this.
In 1948, just 3 years after the liberation of Nazi death camps, a group of Jewish American pilots answered a call for help. In secret and at great personal risk, they smuggled planes out of the U.S., trained behind the Iron Curtain in Czechoslovakia, and flew for Israel in its War of Independence. This is the story told in Nancy Spielberg's documentary Above and Beyond. Nancy Spielberg will be speaking on Tuesday, May 3rd, for the Jewish Federation of Northeastern New York's Women Philanthropy Connections event to discuss the film. An accomplished businesswoman, fundraiser, and philanthropist, Nancy Spielberg has in recent years turned her energy and talents to producing documentaries. Spielberg grew up surrounded by the film industry, where she worked on her brother Steven's early films. She served as consultant on the Oscar-winning documentary Chernobyl Heart and as executive producer of Elusive Justice, The Search of Nazi War Criminals, which aired nationally on PBS. It is a great pleasure to welcome Nancy Spielberg to the roundtable this morning. Nancy, thank you very much for being with us.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. How did you come to this particular project?
Well, actually, I keep saying this project came to me. It sort of fell into my lap. I had executive produced a film called Elusive Justice, The Search for Nazi War Criminals. And after that, someone sent me an email, and I don't know who this person is. And they basically just said, this should be your next film. And they sent me an obituary about a TWA flight engineer named Al Schwimmer and how he, in 1948, smuggled airplanes and recruited his buddies to volunteer, smuggled airplanes out of the United States against a state-imposed embargo, flew them to Israel, and they flew and fought in Israel's War of Independence when Israel was declared a state and was attacked by all the surrounding Arab countries and had no way to defend itself. And I read this obituary and I said, how come I didn't know this? And this sounds like a real cool film. It sounds like actually I'm used to getting those, you know, emails that says this should be your brother's next film and can you please give it to him? but this one had my name on it and it just grabbed me. It grabbed me right away and I ran with it.
In this group of Jewish American pilots, how were they together prior to this project? Did they come together for this or were they already a group?
You mean back in 48?
Yes.
They were not a group. I mean, Al Schwimmer had buddies at TWA and he contacted friends, but it became this really clandestine sort of, you know, secret movement in the U.S. of people wanting to help Israel, Jews and non-Jews. And these guys were all World War II veterans. So for many reasons, they jumped to this. Part of it, and they weren't, you know, the guys I interviewed were not connected to Israel in any Zionist way except for one guy. Most of them didn't think Israel fit into their lives. But after fighting in World War II and seeing what was happening and liberating the camps, many of them felt it was their duty. And they weren't quite fitting back into their civilian lives post-World War II. And so they sort of got swept up. In another case, there was one point where they had stolen records, and a couple of these guys, Al Schwimmer and his buddies, literally scoured the records looking for Jewish names with combat, you know, with pilot experience, and they called them. They cold called a lot of these guys. So they came from all different walks of life. And again, it wasn't just Americans, though Above and Beyond is focused on the Americans. It was volunteers from around the world.
One of the things that is so fascinating about the story, of course, and something that I don't think any of us could really imagine how you do this, but how do you smuggle a plane out of the United States?
I know. And then when they smuggled B-17s, like, you don't just hide a B-17.
Right.
Well, it's funny because a lot of the pilots, and, you know, I talked to these guys, and they're in their 90s, you know, they said in the olden days, they were, with a pilot's license, they could buy surplus planes, as is, and they would file a flight plan from, you know, Burbank to somewhere in California, and then at the receiving end, when someone would say, well, what happened to that plane, they would shrug their shoulders and say, it must have crashed. They pretended they were doing transport. They created a bogus Panamanian national airlines. Even the Panamanians thought they had a national airline. You know, they did all kinds of stuff that was pretty sneaky, and the FBI was chasing them, but just couldn't quite, you know, seal the deal. One guy with a B-17 did get busted. He got, I guess the authorities knew he was refueling in Canada. They called the Canadians, who stopped him, and somehow in the craziness on the tarmac, he was able to jump back in the plane and fly off again, and then he got busted in the Azores, and that's that was that. But they did some interesting tactics to get these planes out of the U.S.
As far as what this became, because it's ultimately the birth of the Israeli Air Force?
Correct. Correct. Crazy, right?
Indeed. And the time frame for that, from its inception to that designation, was how long?
Well, you know, David Ben-Gurion was petitioning for help in the United States for money to buy arms, and everybody knew there was going to be a war, and they were really underprepared. So I think that started 46, 47. My guys got involved 47, 48. Most of them early 48, 1948. 49, the war was over, and many of these guys went home. So it sort of was 48 to 49 was the crux. Most of the most important planes came literally from Czechoslovakia, though, and the Czechs agreed to sell Israel Czech-made Messerschmitts. So suddenly you have these American pilots who had spent World War II shooting down Messerschmitts, flying them instead in defense of the Jewish state. So that became a critical part, and that was the beginning of being able to acquire aircraft from other countries.
As you recalled and mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that this all came out of an obituary, it seems as the layers of the onion are peeled, it just gets more and more and more interesting a story. So at what point in the process did you find out that one of the pilots was Pee Wee Herman's dad?
I know. Well, that's a spoiler now.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
that's
sorry.
Okay. You know, the funny thing is the first person who told me that story was President Shimon Peres. But he didn't know Pee Wee Herman, quote unquote. He said, yeah, Milton, did you hear the gefilte fish story? Milton Rubenfeld, he has a son who's a famous actor. So when I went to explore that, all the pilots told me that story. So that's when I looked it up and I was like, oh my God, who would have thunk? You know, who would have thunk? And we contacted Paul Rubens, and he was so proud of his father and so excited to be a part of this. And it's really quite, you know, a change from the persona that people know of him in the real world. And it worked out beautifully. So, you know, all kinds of people volunteered. Vidal Sassoon was a volunteer. I think it was for the ground forces. So there were Chris McGee, who was a Black Sheep Squadron. He was a badass dude in World War II. He ran over to volunteer. There were some interesting folks involved in this.
One of the other things that I think is inevitable is that obviously you want to talk to as many of these pilots and of those who participated as you can, but you are fighting the clock. As you said, these guys are in their 90s, so
right.
there was a sense of urgency, I assume, in making the film.
There was a tremendous sense of urgency, and as I was raising money, because we do this as a not-for-profit, so we were rushing around to raise money, the guys were dying, or they were having strokes, or their memories were not accurate or fading, and we just ran with a camera. And thank God we did, because since we finished the film, four of the pilots in the film passed away. And I'm attached to each and every one, so, you know, it's like I'm holding on so tight, but this is where we are losing that generation of the World War II vets, of the Holocaust survivors. So any and all testimonies, visual testimonies that we can get are such powerful tools to keep them alive and at least pass on their history, our heritage. to younger generations who just don't get it from a book. They just don't want to read a book about it. And it's so, I'm just sorry I didn't do this 10 years earlier, because I would have had that many more people.
So when you show the film and you talk about the film as you'll be doing at Temple Israel, what is the reaction? What do people want to talk about?
You know, I think that a lot of people that are savvy of history, either American history or Israeli history, are sort of shocked that they didn't know much of this story. So they love to hear the details of this story. I think they also actually love to find out where we got the footage, what was the actual archival footage, where did we do some recreations. They love the behind the scenes. And many of them want to know, how did Israel respond to this film?
Right.
It's funny because it's a story about, part of it is about Israel's history, but Israel's not the star, you know? And here are, you know, Americans toying with Israel's early days. But luckily, the Israeli people are so grateful and overwhelmed with emotion, as many people have been. Americans are very proud. They're proud of their role in helping other countries. And I think that message gets through.
Certainly, this film and this work is very much a family business. And I'm interested in just the dynamic that you all work together in supporting each other's projects.
Well, you know, it's funny because the first thing I did when I decided I wanted to do this film was say to my brother, I hope you're not doing something like this, because I don't want to go in a box office against you. And then I didn't want to ask him anything else. I really needed to do this my way. And I actually didn't ask him for anything, but I showed him the film in the very last moments of editing when I was showing it to friends and family for notes. And he told me I made him cry. So, you know, of course, I said, you made me cry a lot of times, too, when you beat me up as a kid. So we're even now. He's so very, very proud, and the family is so supportive. My sister's also a screenwriter.
Sure.
Anne wrote the movie Big,
right,
with Tom Hanks. And so I think we are very close. So we are so supportive, and I think my brother's even prouder that it was so my own project, you know, that I didn't need to ask him for anything, and he keeps giving it to his friends, and I keep saying, Steve, let them buy a DVD, you know, maybe I could make a dollar. Stop giving it away to everybody.
The Jewish Federation of Northeastern New York's Women's Philanthropy Leadership is presenting this evening, and it is happening Tuesday, May 3rd, 6 o'clock to 8:45 at Temple Israel in Albany, New York. And you can find out more information by going to jewishfedny.org, jewishfedny.org. Again, the project is entitled Above and Beyond. Nancy Spielberg, a great pleasure to have you on the program. We look forward to having you in the region, and thank you so much for sharing this morning.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks so much. People can also go to playmountproductions.com and find out more information as well. That's my production company.
Excellent. playmountproductions.com for more information there as well. Nancy Spielberg, a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Take care.
Once again, Nancy Spielberg will be speaking on Tuesday, May 3rd for the Jewish Federation of Northeastern New York's Women's Philanthropy Connections event to discuss the film Above and Beyond. The deadline for tickets is this Thursday, April 28th, and you can find out more information by going to jewishfedny.org, jewishfedny.org, for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.